Hey there, John Corrales here, Boston Celtics beat reporter for MassLive.com after a 102-99 Boston Celtics win in Game 2 of their semifinal series with the Toronto Raptors. Obviously, still no production elements for those of you regular listeners. I'm working on it. I will get those back together, recreated somehow, and back in the podcast. Trust me, I will get there. So this is just a temporary blip with the silence and all of that stuff. So you normal listeners, sorry. You new listeners, there's more coming. I just had a computer die on me. And I think I'm going to have a little bit of time to work on that. How I do this podcast after a game. Segment one, positives, which is really all going to happen mostly in the fourth quarter because that's where the Boston Celtics outscored Toronto 32-21 to win this game. Segment two, the negatives. And there were a few, including how they opened the game and a couple of poor performances. And then in segment three, just unloading some of the notes, including parts of the schedule and some things I was wrong about. And Marcus Smart was one of the most hilarious flops I've ever seen. So let's start right away with the positives here. Let's start at the beginning. First quarter, Robert Williams, who came in the first quarter and was perfect. Had absolutely, when we talk about giving the Celtics what they needed, here's the quote from Brad Stevens after the game. If you're watching the game, he basically said something similar here, but after the game he said of Robert Williams, "He's the only reason we were in the game in the first quarter. I did not think we started well. I thought our first 6 minutes were sloppy, and I didn't think we got to our spots. I think the pace that Toronto was playing at was much different than our pace, but when he came in, he kind of changed it and made enough plays to get us into the quarter tied." Now, in the first quarter, he was 5 of 5 for 10 points, and in fact, that's how he finished the game, 5 of 5, but he did add a free throw, so he finished with 11 points. But that first quarter, I mean, the Celtics were down when he came in, and they finished the quarter, I believe, 17-10 after he checked in. They were really, I think, cognizant of the lob threat. They were afraid of his lob threat. They overreacted to his lob threat, and you could see that he had a dunk with about 2 minutes to go in the quarter where Jaylen Brown was just basically left alone. And a miscommunication, you saw two guys on Robert Williams because they just didn't want him dunking all over them again. I thought Robert Williams, and you know, guy, if you're a regular listener, you know me. I view clutch basketball as more than just the end of the game. Where Kemba Walker, and I'll talk about him in a minute, had clutch basketball. Marcus Smart had clutch basketball. But this game doesn't go this way without Robert Williams coming in at a pivotal point and basically playing clutch basketball and giving the Celtics this opportunity to finish that first quarter tied when they absolutely had no business being tied at the end of the first quarter. And we talk about sort of that butterfly effect where one missed basket here, one missed basket there. You don't know what effect that has on the rest of the game. Well, Robert Williams not coming in and playing and being that 5 for 5, that changes the entire dynamic of the game. Because if instead of going into that second quarter tied, if they're down 5 or down 10, then that just gives Toronto a little bit more confidence. They play the game differently. They play it with a little bit more energy. That energy that they had in the first quarter, for Robert Williams to come in and match that, and all of a sudden, everything that the Raptors worked very hard for had gone away. I mean, I just know for me watching, I said, wow, I can't believe that that was something that that the score was what it was. And you could see the impact. Like, Kemba Walker got really deep on one pick and roll, almost like James Harden did with Clint Capella back in the day for Houston, that he could get really, really deep in the lane. And when it looks like he was ready to just throw up a layup, it became a lob. And the more Robert Williams gets acclimated to just playing more, these are the types of things that the Celtics can kind of count on with him. So A great first quarter. Didn't do much afterwards. Didn't need to do much afterwards. The other positive, Marcus Smart's fourth quarter. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Marcus Smart. Because he was shooting 1 of 5 from three. And I seriously was like, well, this is, you know, Marcus Smart just coming back down to earth. And the Celtics are going to kind of lose this game. And we'll have to figure it out. But this is what we saw. We kind of knew that Marcus Smart wouldn't be shooting 5 for 9 from three. No, instead what he ended up shooting was 6 of 11 from three. He scored 16 points to start the fourth quarter. He hit three after three after three. Then a couple minutes later, another three. Then he had a four-point play. I mean, it was ridiculous to watch that shooting performance. And you know Marcus, he's never going to lose confidence. And he had that confidence. And he said after the game, only needed one. All I needed was one to go in. And that one went in. Hit 5 3-pointers in that fourth quarter. He had only hit one. He hit his first shot of the game. I thought he was going to come out hot again. He hit a shot right away. Hit a three. And then he was just missing. But the start of that fourth quarter was, I mean, wow. What can you say other than he caught fire and he was feeling it. And when you get into a zone like that, Marcus Smart has a tendency to do that. So he ends up finishing with 19 points on 6 of 13 shooting, 6 of 11 from 3. And it looks like, wow, another hot shooting game. But it all came in the fourth. After that, after those 16 points, then it was Kemba time. Kemba, 11 points in the final 7:21. So there's your other positive of the night. Kemba's takeover on a night where he was ice cold. Ice cold, 2 of 14 going into the fourth quarter. Then he ends up going a perfect 4 for 4 for 11 points in that final 7:21. And one of those layups, so he comes in, he gets a layup, free throws, another layup. In one of those, you could just tell, it doesn't matter if Kemba's cold or what, he's still Kemba Walker, where he had Ibaka, and he kind of froze Ibaka with like a head and shoulder fake, like he was going to pull up. And Ibaka just strained up a little bit, and then boom, Kemba was by him. So first of all, tells you that the knee seems to be okay, even though he was missing, and he was missing badly in the beginning of the game. I mean, he had some really bad misses, but he started honing in, and that's kind of a Kemba thing to do, right? Like he has this, he can go through long stretches of a game where he just, it's not going down, and all of a sudden, just barrage, cardiac Kemba comes out to play. But, and you just look at Kemba's, you know, regular season numbers, he didn't shoot particularly well. He doesn't shoot particularly well. This year, shot 42.5%. The best he has shot in a single season was the 16-17 season, where he shot 44.4%. So he's never shot better than that from the field. That's not a great number. You know, that's not a great number. But from three, his numbers are pretty good. And in the fourth quarter, his numbers are fantastic. And we saw that again in this one. So Kemba, and then, of course, the patented Kemba step back on Ibaka, where he was rising up to shoot that three as Ibaka was still going in the other direction. Ibaka kind of recovered to try and challenge it, but he had no shot. Just a clutch. That was the last basket of the game. It took a one-point game. It made it a three-point game. So that was just huge there for Kemba Walker. And, of course, I got to talk about Jason Tatum. He's the leading scorer of this game. I've gone 9 minutes into this podcast, only just now mentioning Jason Tatum. 34 points on 8 of 17 shooting, 4 of 7 from 3. But the real positive here, 14 of 14 from the line. He also had 8 rebounds and 6 assists. The 4 turnovers, not great. But the Celtics still had a bunch of turnovers in this game. And, Tatum is one of the culprits. Jaylen Brown didn't have a great game. I'll talk about that in a couple minutes. Kemba Walker also had, 2 turnovers. Marcus Smart had 5. But again, and I mentioned this, and people on Twitter know what I'm about to say. Some of these turnovers, especially for Smart, like the live ball turnovers, like Jason Tatum had some live ball turnovers. This is supposed to be the positive section, so I'm sorry, but Kemba had some of his turnovers. Those were live ball turnovers. But some of these turnovers, you know, I don't mind. If they go out of bounds, step out of bounds, whatever, that's not as bad. But back to the positives here for Jason Tatum. The 14 of 14 from the line was huge because that is an aggressiveness, as Brad Stevens said after the game. It was a moving quickly, attacking quickly after the catch, being decisive, not sitting there waiting. When he waits, sometimes it's just not great. But against this defense, get the ball, go, attack right away. And when he did that, especially when he was attacking Marc Gasol, it was almost a shame to see Marc Gasol foul out. But Tatum, just attack, get to the free throw line. And the more he does this, the more he's going to be respected as someone who draws these fouls. So this is a big deal. This is how you score 34 points on 17 shots. So a nice game overall. This was kind of like the star game pacing the Celtics. Again, 34, 8, and 6 is a nice game for Tatum. Just overall, this is a star-level performance from him. And before we go into the negatives, got to give Grant Williams some love. Grant Williams, here's a quote from Brad Stevens. Grant Williams was out there. I thought he gave us some great minutes, rebounding the ball and guarding his yard on Siakam a few times. Grant, you know, typical kind of positive performance, 18 and a half minutes. Didn't do much shooting-wise, but 4 rebounds, a couple of assists, went in there, was a plus 4 in those 18 minutes. He's a positive impact player. It was good to see him on a night where Semi Ojeleye was not very good at all. I'm going to talk about that when we get into the negatives. First, I'm going to talk about Rock Auto, which is a big positive. It's a great way to end the positive segment, because if you need anything for your car, no matter who you are, whether you're like me and not a big technical car, like I'm not going to repair anything in my car, in my engine. But hey, look, I can replace a headlight. I can replace a taillight. I can replace windshield wipers. I can put motor oil in my car. That, you know, and I can get that at rockauto.com. No matter what you need, you can get it there. Do you need something more complex? No problem. Don't go to one of those chain stores. Don't go to one of those places in the strip mall, because you know that they don't have a huge warehouse. There's a good chance that what you're looking for is not going to be there, or their selection is going to be limited. If you go to rockauto.com, they have a big, wide variety, and you're going to save a ton of money, like a lot of money, by going directly to rockauto.com. They do not have different price tiers for the pros and for you. Their prices are the same for everybody. They're reliably low. Those prices do not change based on what the market will bear, like an airline ticket. That's silly. So you go to rockauto.com, go ahead and sift through their catalog. It's unique and remarkably easy to navigate. They're a family business that's been serving parts customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. It's an amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. On to the negatives in this game, and let's just start at the beginning, just like we did with the positives. The Celtics did not come out great in this game. They got down as much as 12, and they did not look like they had the energy here. I thought early on, like, here it is. This is Toronto giving the Celtics that effort that they needed, that Nick Nurse was asking for. They were, you know, we were seeing Van Vliet hit a couple of shots. Pascal Siakam was hitting shots. Lowry was getting to the rim. OG Anunoby was contributing. I mean, they were putting forth a big effort, and it was paying off in a big way. And they did so again in the third quarter. There was a stretch there in the third quarter where I thought, oh boy, here we go. It looked like for a second in that third quarter that the Celtics were toast. I really felt like they were kind of flying out of control at shooters. We saw OG Anunoby really making another big impact there. That's when Kemba was making some bad turnovers trying to look for Robert Williams. Like he thought Robert Williams was going to be in a place, and either Robert wasn't there. They don't have that chemistry together. Serge Ibaka had a big stretch in that third quarter as well, where Toronto went on an 11-0 run. I mean, this was them getting out into transition. That was everything the Celtics were hoping to avoid. And luckily for them, they got it down to 8 going into the start of the fourth quarter, which is when they obviously turned things around. But those two stretches, now teams are going to make their runs, but we really saw the Celtics get sloppy. And they have to tighten up the turnover thing. That's a big thing. After 23 turnovers in the first game, they had another 17 in the second game, which is still not great. 10 in the first half. So they did clean it up a little. But those live ball turnovers, hopefully they can clean those up. We see Jason Tatum making some bad decisions sometimes. We saw Kemba Walker making some bad decisions, getting up in the air, making bad passes, like they jump without a plan. And that's very elementary stuff, but seeing too much of that. And of course, obviously you have to give credit to the opposing defense for forcing some of that stuff. But I think sometimes the Celtics just kind of either jump and think they're gonna draw fouls or jump and realize like, oh, I got nowhere to go. So it's something that they need to clean up. Another negative here in this game, Semi Ojeleye, who in the first game I thought was a positive, and I mentioned him in the positives, but Toronto did not post Pascal Siakam up nearly as much. And Semi's effectiveness is in his ability to body up Siakam. And I think it was the easiest adjustment that Nick Nurse could make, but getting away from those Siakam post-ups was huge, and it kind of eliminated the effectiveness of Ojeleye on the defensive end. And then he couldn't hit a three. He was 0-of-3 in his 10 minutes from three. So he's a 3-and-D guy, and if he's not there to D anybody up and he's missing all of his threes, then guess what? Semi Ojeleye sits down, and then that's why Grant Williams got those minutes, and Grant did a very good job with those minutes. Jaylen Brown is a negative in this game, which not only did he shoot 5-of-13, but 3-of-8 from 3. Like, I don't want to say he's a total negative in this game. Like, this is maybe a little bit nitpicky, but he didn't have his best game. Like I said, the shooting was not great, but he did have 8 rebounds and a couple of assists and a couple of block shots and 3 steals. Like, defensively, for most of the game, he did okay. He did pretty well. He was defending really well for most of the game. The 4 turnovers were not great. And also, he, right as Doris Burke was praising him for having this great defensive game, he completely falls asleep. There was a stretch where I forget how he got out onto the break, but he committed a charge. He was out of control, and he kind of knew it. And this is an old habit for Jaylen Brown. I brought it up in the last podcast. These old habits, and I don't know if this is bubble fatigue or what, but he, after committing the charge, which was kind of a lapse in judgment, okay, it happens, it shouldn't have happened, but it's not perfect. He goes down the other end, and he gets completely burned backdoor by OG Anunoby. And that was just falling asleep out in the daze, that thousand-mile stare that plagued him last season, that's plagued him in the past. This is not a great time for that to come back. It's not coming back a lot. It used to be coming back for long stretches. But even in that that play where he forced the jump ball on Siakam, he kind of fell asleep on that and allowed Siakam to come around him and catch the ball. And then he woke up and forced the jump ball. But again, Jaylen Brown has raised his game to a point where that we expect a lot of him. And I've always expected a lot of him. And My criticism of him is always thinking that he could do more. This is not a habit that you want to see come back. And I hope that whatever it is that is causing him to get into that funk or whatever, he can get past, but it's definitely an old habit coming back. The last negative here is going to be the Jason Tatum technical. This is something that I harp on. I'm not the biggest fan of how much he talks to the refs. I get it. NBA players talk to the refs. Some players talk to the refs a lot more than others. You know, you look at Kyle Lowry, he's talking to the refs all the time. Okay, fine. I got to get over some of that. But definitely Jason Tatum has to be better. And he has to understand, and he did after the game, he did understand that in that situation, that waving off all of that stuff, I get that you're passionate. I get that you're caught up in the moment. You got to be better than that. That was going to be a critical, critical juncture. Luckily, Kemba came back, and after that was his step back. I think that was after his step back. But Kemba hit a shot after that, and Tatum, with a minute or so to go in that game and in that moment, you have to make sure that you don't put the referees in a position to make that call, and you know that fist pump, that wave is going to get the call. They just call that. Is that stupid? I know you're probably yelling at me right now. Some of you are yelling at me right now, saying that was a dumb tech. It was a soft tech. I don't disagree at all. But the rule is that wave, the demonstrative, that gesturing, that is more often than not a tech. And it should be a tech all the time. When it's not, it should be. And is it soft? Yeah. Is it a dumb rule? Yeah. I didn't think in that moment that it should have been a tech. I will say, officials need to let players be players. In the fourth quarter of and with a minute or so to go in a tightly contested, emotional playoff game, fans or no fans, whatever, that you got to let these guys be able to show some emotions. You have to let them show some emotions. He's not showing you up. He's just... Let him have the emotions. This is what I'm kind of having, like, this debate with myself right now. On the other side, the counter would be, well, if he would just shut up for parts of these games and not ride them the whole time, maybe they would give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe this is a side effect of all of the yapping on and on and on and on about how everything's a foul. Dude went to the line 14 times. So there's a give and take on both sides of this. The referees definitely in those situations should allow these guys a little bit more leeway in those situations. But Tatum's got to be better. You know, that's just how it is. You know what is better? Built Bar. I just ordered myself a new box today, a few hours ago, a new box of Built Bars because they've improved the Built Bar. The last Built Bar that I bought and that I loved and spent my own money on was already good. Now they've made it better. There are 18 amazing flavors, including nut flavors and non-nut flavors. So if you've got a nut allergy, no problem. You go to their website, builtbar.com, and you will see it marked no nuts. So you can order whatever you want. If you've got a nut allergy, they've got you covered. They've got 12 original flavors like peanut butter brownie. I ordered the peanut butter ones. I'm also going to be getting myself a salted caramel box. They're all covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. I'm health conscious. You're health conscious. These are great if you want to lose weight, maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat because they're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They're great if you're on a keto diet. They've got up to 19 grams of protein. They've got no more than 180 calories, so you can order and feel good about whether you're using them after a workout or as a meal replacement. If you go to builtbar.com right now, you can use the promo code LOCKEDON and get $10 off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Even if you've used it before, you can use it again. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your next order at BuiltBar.com. A few other news and notes before I wrap up the show. I would have bet money on Fred VanVleet having a big night. After seeing his kids, after all of that, after the first night that he had, I would have bet money on him hitting a bunch of shots, but he did not. 8 of 22 and 3 of 12 from 3. And I thought he had some misses that were kind of huge. He had one with about 5 minutes left, wide open in the corner, and he missed that three that really, when the Celtics were in the midst of this fourth quarter run, that three is huge. That changes the entire dynamic of the game. You know, Grant Williams went to help because Pascal Siakam got switched onto Kemba Walker, and Grant kind of overhelped. I don't know if it was by design or by mistake, but they left Kemba. They left Fred VanVleet later. He did hit a three, but that earlier three, I mean, this was a three-point game. If he had hit the earlier three, then this could have been a tie game. You know what I mean? So this is a swing here where if the Celtics are tied, the dynamic of the game changes. So, yeah, Fred VanVleet hit that 1-3, which was big. The one that he missed earlier was just as big of a miss. No threes from Kyle Lowry, nothing from Norm Powell, just one from Pascal Siakam. I mean, OG Anunoby and Serge Ibaka were the only two hitting threes. So an 11 for 40 night. A day after we said, no, they're not going to shoot 10 for 40, they shot 11 for 40. So you got to shout out the Celtics defense. But also, they're just cold. Next note, I thought that Marcus Smart flop was hilarious. It ended up being a three-point play because it was a foul. So if you didn't see it, it's at the end of the third quarter where the Raptors are on a break, and he tries to, yeah, it was the end of the third quarter. He tries to run down, and it felt like he was trying to get to in front of Pascal Siakam to kind of draw the foul and make it so it erased the layup. He didn't quite get there, so he just kind of threw himself into Siakam and bounced off. He actually initially drew the offensive foul, but then after review, it was shown that he initiated the contact and kind of flopped. So that was pretty funny in retrospect because the Celtics won. It could have been a pretty disastrous play because the Celtics gave up that basket in the three-point play. It could have been, you know, that extra point, who knows? You know, you start giving up points here and there. Again, you know, with the Celtics, you know, they win this game by three. But if, you know, one more made three and it's a tied game, well, that 1 point, you know, let's just pretend that one of those threes, that three-pointer that I talked about just now from Fred VanVleet. Obviously, this is not how it's going to go, but if you pretend that he hits that and everything else goes the same and this goes 102-102 into overtime, and what if the Celtics lose in overtime? You could look back and be like, well, that flop was pretty ridiculous and it cost the Celtics an extra point. And that's the difference in the game. It didn't happen that way, so now we could fully appreciate the insanity of that play, which I thought was pretty funny. But anyway, last note that I have, the schedule has now been released for at least through Game 5, and the Celtics are still, and the Eastern Conference games are still scheduled for every other day, which, so the Game 3 is Thursday at 6:30. Game 4 is Saturday at 6:30. Game 5, if necessary, is Monday at 6:30. And right now they're scheduled for Wednesday and Friday through for Game 6 and 7, if necessary. Well, I just watched the end of the Denver Jazz series. That was the end of the first round. The Celtics played their Game 2, and we were still in Game 7 of the first round. Game 4 of that Clippers-Denver series is going to be on the 9th, which is when a Game 6 would be for the Celtics. So unless a couple of sweeps happen, and we still don't know. We still don't know what's going to happen with Houston and OKC. That's Game 7 has not been played. So if the Celtics somehow, and I still don't expect it, but look, they've won the first two games. Maybe they can win in 5. If they win in 5, that's September 7th. If the Clippers and Denver go to even 5 games, that's September 11th. So that's 4 days later, and then another couple of days in between series, depending on how Milwaukee and Miami go. Look, we're looking at a potential, if the Celtics do close this out early, a potentially long layoff. And if these other games go 7, then the Celtics, I mean, look, it's going to be great for them to kind of recover, get off their legs for a couple of days, and kind of rest up. But at some point, they're going to have to, like, you know, it kind of crosses the curve of, well, the rest is good, to, okay, well, we're a little rusty. And the benefit of playing every other day is you stay sharp. If the Celtics are off from the 7th, let's say, until the 18th, I mean, that 11-day layoff in the playoffs, that's unheard of. Unheard of. It may be moot because the Celtics, if Toronto comes back and wins a couple of these games and this series goes 7, then it's still, you know, there still could be a layoff, but not as bad. But even so, if this goes 7, that's Friday, September 11th. If the Lakers and their first round opponents go 7, that's September 16th. If Clippers Denver goes 7, that's September 15th. So the Celtics would still have a layoff, depending on how things go. I feel like it would make more sense to kind of reschedule some of this. Like, all right, maybe instead of Monday for a Game 5, why not put it on Tuesday and put two games in between? Just, you know, and if instead of having a potential Game 7 on Friday, the 11th, why not put it on Saturday or Sunday? Why not flip it around somehow? I know there's TV schedules and things are sold and that may be the reason, but there has to be some wiggle room. There's no travel. They don't have to book venues. This is, if there's ever going to be a time that they can do it, this would be the time to do it. I just don't think it's advantageous to have a team potentially sitting there for a week doing nothing while the other team is playing. And, you know, what if, you know, that week off, hey, look, and certainly I guess I shouldn't complain from a Boston perspective, because that could give Gordon Hayward time to recover and get back. So I guess, shut up, John, just let it happen and let Gordon Hayward come back and let's let everything just kind of die down. But at the same time, you know, are they going to start the Eastern? They can't start the Eastern Conference playoffs that far ahead of the West and have a huge layoff potentially before the finals. You just can't do that. So, I don't know. This is a quirk of the scheduling that I can't figure out. It's going to be interesting to see if they figure something out, if they do something different. But that's the schedule. Those are my thoughts. We'll leave it at that. I'm going to try to do another crossover with Lockdown Raptors. I keep saying Lockdown Rappers. Why do I keep doing that? I'm not going to edit that out either, because I now want to start the Lockdown Rappers podcast. All old school, though. Nothing past like 1993. I'm old. What do you want me to do? That's the show. All of you regular listeners, thank you for subscribing already and giving a good written review and a good one of those 5-star ratings that I love so much. All of you new listeners, welcome aboard. Thank you. Hope you enjoy the show. Again, Production Elements coming back at some point this week. I promise. Sorry that the laptop died. I'll get there. Promise. That's it. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.